In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special welcome to St. Benedict's. If you're here for the first time today, we hope you feel at home among us. And I'm very, very proud of our youth and the children who helped this morning with the 13 colonies to remind us a little bit of our nation's history and to remind us that we must be thankful for our nation and pray for our nation each and every day as we get close to this 4th of July weekend. So I want to thank our kids and our youth and all of those who put this together, especially all these beautiful decorations to remind us that the 4th of July is near. There was a rumor going around town that God was at a nearby church healing all of the sick. And so a man who was deaf and a man who was blind and a man who was disabled in a wheelchair all went to see if it was true. And as they got there, the place was packed. And the first one to walk in was the deaf man, and he got real close to God, and God signed to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man signed back, "God, please help me to hear." And God put his hands on the man, and poof, he could hear. Second man finally got in through the crowd, and he was blind, and he whispered into God's ear, and God whispered back, what do you want me to do? And he said, "Lord, I want to see." And God touched him, and immediately, he recovered his sight. Now, the third man in the wheelchair had his eyes wide open and his mouth wide open. He was amazed at what he saw, what happened with his other friends. And just as God was approaching him, the man looked at him and said, God, what are you going to do? He says, "Well, what do you want?" He says, No. Please stay as far away as you can from me because I do not want to lose my disability benefits. See, sometimes we hear about miracles. But sometimes we don't believe that miracles are actually real. And if you look at today's gospel, it's not really the miracle that we're being asked to contemplate. The end result, as incredible as they were, I mean, to lift someone from the dead and to allow a woman who had been 12 years with this oppression, this hemorrhage, to be freed from it. They're both great things. But the real message is deeper than the end result. The real message is they had faith in Jesus Christ. They had faith that Jesus could transform them. The woman said, "If I could only touch his cloak." Jairus, the synagogue leader, said, "If you would only come to see my daughter." They had faith that something would happen and that they would be transformed by their contact with Jesus Christ. And ultimately, the message for us as 21st century Christians is that we must be willing to have that kind of faith and openness to God's Spirit, so that we too may be transformed into whatever it is that God wants us to be. It's difficult to be transformed when we're so set in our ways, when we believe we've got all the truth, when only our way is the right way. It's impossible. You know, as I was praying and thinking about this gospel for this Sunday, I ran into a story about the sequoia trees. Are you familiar with them? Those beautiful trees in California, the big, tall sequoia trees? Some of them grow to be 300 feet tall. But you know, you look at them, and you would think that they have these very deep root system and that they're very, very entrenched in the ground, but that's not true. They actually have very shallow root systems. because they need to find moisture as quickly as possible in order to survive. But there's something interesting about them. They don't grow alone either. They grow in cloisters. They're always in clusters, I should say. Clusters of trees. So there's several trees together all the time. So that if the wind blows or anything happens in the elements, they're protected because their roots are intertwined, tied together. And often when I think about where we are today, I often think, you know, we live in a divided world, not just in our country with all the sad divisions that we're experiencing, but we live in a world where there's so many kind of pulling their own way, you know, and these beautiful trees in nature show us the strength of coming together, the strength of being the body of Christ. We say we are the body of Christ through baptism and that we're all kind of in this together. You can't imagine those sequoia trees saying, oh, I'm on the right, I'm on the left, I'm here, I'm there, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, I'm documented, I'm undocumented. They're together for a reason. There's a strength in that togetherness, in that unity. And I say this to you because I really do believe that Jesus wants to transform us today. Just as he healed those with physical infirmities, and we read about it in the gospel, and we're awed by the power of God, we too need to be transformed. Transformed into the image and likeness of a loving God. Because we have been created in the image and likeness of a loving God, of a good God. And we are all essentially called to embrace that. Embrace the fact that we're called to be more loving, more caring people, more Christ-like people. You can look at all the things in your life, everything that's going on, and ask yourself the question, what needs to be changed? Oftentimes we make the mistake. I'll tell you one of the things you learn after being a priest 24 years. People come after church often and say, gosh, I wish my sister would have been here to hear that sermon. I wish my son would have been here to hear that sermon. People come to talk about problems. Many times you've heard me say this about, you know, the mother that comes to me and says, Father, I'm having a big problem with my son, and he won't do this, and he won't do that, and he won't do that. I said, lady, how old's your son? Oh, he's 55. And I say, okay. Lady, get off the cross. We need the wood. You know what I'm saying? I say this because we spend so much energy trying to change other people, the way other people think, the way other people make their decisions, the way other people behave. And we forget that what needs changing the most is ourselves. And the only thing we can really change is ourselves. Those people of faith in the gospel today, the woman who is not named, she went to touch Jesus because she needed to be transformed. Jairus went because he needed something from the Lord. He needed something. They had faith and trust that God could change their situation. And I ask you right now, what's the situation that is troubling you the most right now? And who is the only one who can transform that situation? God?
Yes.
And your cooperation with God. Your openness to God's will. Your openness to God's way in your life. Now, many of you are familiar with the serenity prayer, right? God, grant me the serenity. Most people that have experienced recovery groups, 12-step groups, AA, have heard this prayer plenty of times because it's part of the AA and 12-step programs experience, the serenity prayer. But this is a new serenity prayer. Listen to this. I found this. Those of you who follow me on Facebook have probably seen it. I posted it this week. It's by Father James Martin, who's a Jesuit. One of the associate editors of America Magazine, a great theological journal by the Jesuits. And Father Martin writes this. He says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, which is pretty much everyone. Since I'm clearly not you, God, at least not the last time I checked. And while you're at it, God, please give me the courage to change what I need to change about myself, which is frankly a lot, since once again, I'm not you, which means I'm not perfect. It's better for me to focus on changing myself than to worry about changing other people, who, as you'll no doubt remember me saying, I can't change anyway. Finally, give me the wisdom to just shut up whenever I think that I'm clearly smarter than everyone else in the room, that no one knows what they're talking about except me, or that I alone have all the answers. Basically, God, grant me the wisdom to remember that I'm not you. Amen. In other words, do we trust God enough to let God be God? Do we trust God enough to let God be the God of our lives, to be transformed in the way Jesus wants us to be transformed, to have the faith of the woman who touched his cloak, or the faith of that father who knew he needed something for his daughter? What can we do? What can we do to be with God and to be transformed by the power of Jesus? First, we have to let God be God. And then we got to open ourselves to the power of the Spirit. Because Jesus does want to heal us. Jesus does want to transform us. Jesus does want us to be healed. That process begins with our openness, our reaching out to Jesus, and allowing the Lord to heal us, to touch us, to transform us. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.